with thanksgiving,
I'll be
a living. Thank you, Mary, for you. Amen and amen and amen. Let's turn this down just a little bit, Anna. I think we got a little bit too much volume onto the. Don't go too far now. That's good. There you go. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading, Hebrews 11. And also turn to Genesis 22. Hebrews 11, Genesis 22. I had a wonderful time. I truly enjoyed the watch night service. I enjoyed everybody, the testimonies and the things, you know, and the singing, the things that was done. It was really a good night to me. I think it was well worth doing that away, you know, and giving you a chance to have part of the service and all, and to, you know, to do your part. I really enjoyed it. Quick as we can, we get them taped, and you can, you know, copy it off, and you can listen to it. It took three tapes because I think we wound up. It was something past one when we finally took the communion. So that was a pretty good service to go from 8 to 1. So, but we had a good time. I never did get bored. I don't know about you. I really enjoyed all of it. What was so surprising was to get to Brother Danny up here and him getting strung out and get to talking and everything. And then here come Brother Darty, and he got up and said, "Well, you'll probably hear me say more tonight than I've ever said in my life." And that's the truth. Then sung us a song. So it was a good time. We had a real good time in the Lord, and I really, really appreciate all of you. Now, remember, I know you've made, the announcement's been made, but remember now, the Bible study won't be this Saturday, all right, but it'll be next Saturday, okay? It'll be on the, 13th, I guess. It'll be the second Saturday. And also remember now, the fellowship meeting will be on the third Saturday, and Brother Richard Wilson will be with us, the Lord willing, preaching for the weekend. So remember that. And also Brother Forney will be with us on the 17th, which is the Wednesday before the fellowship meeting. So, you know, just remember that and be much in prayer. I know you done prayed for Brother Howell. Remember him, Sister Gibby, Brother Gary Krantz hurt his back and was ragging him pretty heavily, and I still got one on him because I told him he had to come and play because I told him he hit a real hard note because it so hard it jerked his back out, you know. But it wasn't that. He hurt his back lifting a stove or something. But, you know, we appreciate everybody and their doings. But, you know, we do know that sickness comes along and heartaches and troubles and everything like that. So just remember each one. Hebrews 11 and Genesis 22. If I missed any more announcements, I know you made, Terrence had done made the most of the announcements. But Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the day that we have. Thank you for the opportunity that we have, Father, to do as we did there, Lord, New Year's night, Eve night, and just sit back and listen to other people talk about their own experience and the things, because truly, we must have a personal experience with you, that we and we alone have that experience. And it we know it's the same as far as the new birth, but we know each one of us have different things that happens in our life through our experience, because that's what makes us all different, but yet one in you. And we thank you. And have your way now as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts and just bless each one. Touch Brother Howell, our Lord, and deliver him from that problems with the heart attacks and the things. Father, we believe you and we commit it to you, and guide each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews, we read this quite a while and, you know, quite often, but we'll keep reading it and all until we get over on the other side. Then we won't have to read it. Right. Now, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now notice, faith is. Amen. Present tense. Right. Now I got that wrote in my Bible and got it circled. Right. Present tense. Amen. All right. See? And then is the. Well, the is always singular. See, like John the Baptist. See, there wasn't but one. The is singular, whatever you're using it about. See, you know, it's a singular point. So, now what's then? So, now faith, right now, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now go back to Genesis 22. We'll begin reading at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said unto him, now watch, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashores, and thy seed. Now notice, it's always seed singular. It's not seeds, it's seed singular, which Galatians 3:16, you know, who is that seed? That seed which is Christ. All right, I've got a little thought I'll get on that maybe the Lord willing Sunday, but watch now. As the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been talking about faith for quite a while. This is message number 20. And what we want to talk about tonight is we covered the last message was substance faith. Substance faith. Now, faith is what anything consists of. You say, well, that's substance. That's right. But listen, faith is what anything consists of that you possess. Now, we're going to get to that in a little bit. See, we're going to talk about your possession. That'll be the title of the message, you know, your possession. But see, faith, it is the substance, and substance is what anything consists of, whether it be natural or spiritual. See? Whether it be a promise from God to you, see? Of healing, whatever you would ask for, your children, for salvation for yourself, whatever it is. Faith is the substance of what that consists of. All right, it's a substance faith. It's not just an imagination. You can imagine things and all like that, but imagination won't heal you. You'll keep right on going and going and going. Imagination won't save you. This is not just a changing of your mind that you were once serving the devil, you know. And you hear people say that, and then you wonder about what they mean when they say, I used to serve him, but said, now I serve God. And then you talk to them about the Word. See? And the Word to them is a foreign object. Well, see, one of these days I want to get to it. It'll probably be another message or two, but I want to talk about how sure the Word of God is. You know that the Word of God is more real than anything you can see. Taste, feel, smell, hear, scientific facts. The Word of God is greater. Now, will you swallow this one? The Word of God is greater than a vision. And the vision, see, we're talking about of God-given vision now. We're not talking about belly full of beans and having a dream, and you call it a vision. All right? We're talking about a vision from God. See, actually, the Word is more real than that vision. You say, well, how can that be? Well, we'll get to that, Lord willing, and talk about it just a little. But see, faith now is the substance. See, it's right now, the substance. When God spoke to Abraham here and told him these things, now, and I want you to listen real careful for a second to get a point, and then it'll be needful later. When God first spoke to Abraham, he didn't tell him about the baby. He told him to get up, get out of the land. to a land that I will give you at a later date. Now, is that really what he's saying? Because he didn't jump over immediately and go down to Canaan and get the land of Canaan. See, he never actually possessed any of those things in himself as far as to conquer and control and call it his land. It was the land of Canaan that he went down into. But he would go in and he'd come out. He would go in and he'd come out. Study it there. We've been through those things. All right? But to him, see, he believed the voice of God that spoke to him. Now, study the message. I wish you would. I wish you would study the. There's two messages, really, that are great. And that's one of them called Super Sense. And the other one is Perfect Faith. Study them over and over. Just keep reading them. Underline things that stand out to you just a little and contemplate on that a little bit, you know. And think about it. All right? But see, Abraham, now we know he was Abram, but God spoke to him, and he believed God spoke to him. Now, he never gave him a sign. He never gave him any kind of a thing that he could say, now, Sarah, God spoke to me, and here is what he told me in scientific fact. He couldn't do it. Even as I said, the land he went into, he didn't control it. But what I like about the Bible and what it says, it said, I'll give you wherever you put the sole of your foot. Now, you study Abraham and Abraham's journey. All right? Sure, it was over here back into Egypt, but back in... You just follow that sometime on a thought pattern throughout Genesis and think about how that he went all over the land of Canaan. You know right where? Exactly, as we'll read in a minute, that he got the promise that you now inherit, the Bible says. Speaking of Israel. Alright? That you now inherit, you have it. In other words, you're here. They may have been in bondage. And were in natural bondage at the time that I'll get to in a second in the book of Acts. But yet they possessed it. You say, no, they didn't. The Romans did. You see how narrow-minded we are? We're not looking, we don't look at the things that are seen, the Bible says. We look at the things that are not seen. I'd rather have the promise of God than all of the things. You've heard the prophet say it over and over. He said, you say, faith is like, he said, if you're hungry, give me a loaf of bread. He said, that wouldn't be faith, that would be a scientific fact. But he said, faith is that you take the quarter that the person gives you for the price of the bread. In other words, you understand what I'm saying? You take God here that he told us. He's give it to us. It don't even cost us a quarter, but that's just an example. That quarter is the purchasing power. The prophet said, I can dance all the way to the store. And he said, it doesn't matter how many miles it is until I get there. He said, I got it. But now here's the catch to it. He said, but you can't show it to nobody else. Now, substance faith is something that you possess. Now, don't get your scientific fact. Don't go on over to the finish and all. Just stay with what I'm saying. See? If you have a substance faith, you have within your possession what you're asking for. But you can't show that to nobody. Abraham couldn't say, Sarah, here's the baby. No, it couldn't be done. See? She didn't understand. Right, but now watch, how much did Abraham understand? Because in the first, he didn't get a promise of the child. Go back and study your Bible. He first got the promise of leaving the land, and where you go, I'll give to you for an inheritance. Later on, see, that's Genesis 12. Later on, see, he gets the promise of the child coming. Right now, when he first started, he didn't have the substance of the child. Are you listening? But he had a promise, see, to him of the land and to the seed that would come. You say, well, that was Isaac. Sure, we know that, but get the point of what I'm saying. First, he had to believe what God said. He didn't even know what the land looked like. He'd never seen the land. But when God spoke to him and told him, go. Now listen, bring it all the way down. Abraham, the Bible said, was seeking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Is that the scripture? All right. Now, he wasn't just hunting for a land. Brother Brown said he's walking when he's in Canaan. He said he's walking right around under the city. He said, because that's where the city's going to come down. Right into Jerusalem. But he was walking there with a possession that he couldn't show nobody. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you only. Salvation is to you and you only. It is not a group thing. It is not a national thing, you know, a nation or something. It's an individual. Now, each individual then receives. And then we all make the body of Christ. But each one of us has to have that individual possession. Not an imagination now. Not just a good thought. Oh, one day we're going to heaven. Well, Abraham was looking for it down here. Because the Bible said he was looking for a city. He was looking for something upon the earth. Salvation is not up in heaven. It doesn't need it. Salvation is down here. You and I are the ones that need salvation. But see, we need it as a possession, not just a confession. Not to just say I'm saved. Not to just say I'm a Christian. But for God to say we're a Christian. Well, we don't have much hope if God's got to say it. That's where you're looking through your narrow-mindedness. Go ahead. The grave waits for you. All right? Because you can't see what I'm talking about. See, where I'm talking about, where I'm headed to, is something that God showed me back last year. All right? But yet, I don't see it like I need to. And I'm as honest as I can tell you. I told Brother Dean yesterday about it. I do not possess exactly what I'm trying to bring to you. You say, well, what are you trying to do? I possess it to the degree that I know what I'm talking about. But yet there's something there that's got to happen. And when it does, see, then the sparks is going to fly. But if we don't get this right, there ain't nothing to set the sparks to. If we don't get it right where we're at now. The prophet said on perfect faith, rub out some of this make-believe. See, I've tried over and over to get you to see it. Read it, what the prophet said. Said, you say, well, I've got faith. He said, what are you doing in the prayer line? See, one of these days you'll understand something. And you watch this statement because it's a three or four messages down the road. That prophet, that people that come up in that prayer line, he would pray for them. He would say, thus saith the Lord. He'd say, you're healed. He prayed for them. Things fell off of them. But on certain rare occasions, He would stop and he'd say, take that child to the doctor. He said, I guarantee you it's healed. What was he doing? You mean that would be greater than thus saith the Lord? We'll get to it. See, we're headed to something, folks. I've never in my life set dates or times or seasons, but now it's serious. Time is running out for you and me, if nothing else, by age-wise. Somebody's got to walk off this earth, but we've got to have something to walk on. And we can play around. Oh, yeah, I go to church, Brother Dale, I'm there. I do this. It's all right. But has God spoken to you? We believe Brother God spoke to Brother Dale. That ain't got one thing to do with you. The only thing it'll do to you is help you. We believe God spoke to Brother Branham. That won't heal me. It won't save me because he spoke to him. It's when he speaks to me. Then it's my possession. It's something I have. But I might not be able to show it to you. Well, now, Brother, I know what your mind is running. Just like I told my wife and Sister Trudy the other day. We're talking about healings and things. I said, I can preach. I'm a preacher. I'm called to do it. I can preach divine healing and see it made manifest. I'm going to pause and let you think. Because you know what you're thinking? Let's see if I can read your mind without even having a gift of any kind. You're saying, Brother Dale, we need healing. Why don't you preach it? How many of you thought that? Why don't you preach it then? That's exactly what I'm doing. Because the Bible said he sent his word and healed him. The Bible said, and the word was present to heal. You want to go back to divine healing when you got the word that does the healing. What's the matter? Sure, we would love to see God move among us. But there's certain things that's got to be preached in certain ways, and it's got to be through the right place. And after over 30 years of preaching, I know where it's at. But it's so simple, because it's faith. Go read the message, Perfect Faith. Go read it. Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God of who he was. But there's one statement in there, he says something like this. He said he believed that God spoke to him. Oh, we're Trinitarians. Come on. But listen, faith is not just something you imagine. Now, imagination, the prophet said, will lead you to faith. Confession will lead you to a place to where that God can move on the scene and make manifest what you're confessing. Because if you don't confess it, if you don't hear it, if it doesn't come in your imagination, God can't bring it into your being. We're not doing away with human imaginations and that, but lining it up. The prophet where he said, them six senses is fine if they're according to the word. Amen. But he said, if they're not, get rid of them. What does the word say? Can you prove tonight that you're saved? Well, I spoke in tongues, I shouted, I cried, I changed my life, I used to be this, I started doing that. You're in a bad shape. Whether you know it or not, you're in bad shape. I only have one evidence. That's whether or not what's in me follows this word. And keeps on following it. The Baptists follow it to a degree. The Methodists to a degree. The Branhamites to a degree. You know, I don't mind even bringing that out. See. But it ain't following something to a degree. It's being what you are. Walking in what you are. The prophet said perfect faith. He said something about walk in the Word. How is it? You walk in the Word, you become the Word. I believe that's a statement of perfect faith. But see, Abraham, yeah, it says you'll possess your seed. He didn't just say you. See, and thy seed shall possess the gate of their enemy. And the natural. Now, let me say something and listen. Listen real careful. Abraham never reached the position to inherit that place that he was talking about. The natural Israelites finally got into the land, but that wasn't what was being said. What is possessing the gates of your enemy? My Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. That's why the new birth is so important, because in that new birth, you come to a place that death is annihilated for the soul. We are the only people, we, since Calvary, since the coming of the new birth, can fulfill that scripture to possess the gates of the enemy. To Abraham, it was natural. To Abraham, it was a land. But yet he knew the whole time something was wrong, because he never found the city. He never found what he was looking for in the natural. Because to him it was a natural land. That was possessing the gates of the enemy. Joshua, go over, possess the land. They did, didn't they? But to show you there's always problems and it's not a total fulfillment. Even study Joshua and the great possession of the land, to where the children of Israel possessed the land. And they even come to what we call adoption and things like that, because the land was divided. But go in there and find out they never destroyed all of them Amalekites. They never destroyed all of the enemy. They never drove everybody out of the land. They never possessed the natural land as a reality. And when Jesus was speaking right to them, they never possessed it. And let's go over there. That's in this Acts 9, Acts 7. Let's get this scripture. Let's just get this scripture part to show you that, see, they never possessed what they, you know. See, this that he told Abraham back there would go all the way to a rapture. Amen. See, the new birth brought the possession into reality. The city came in you. Amen. The city Abraham was looking for came in you. Amen. By the new birth. And man, they never reached that position. But listen to what it says about them. 7, verse 3 and through 5. Well, I better get out of John if I'm going to read in Acts. Acts 7, verse 3 through 5. He's talking about Abraham now, and they're reading the whole thing. He's talking, this is the address of Stephen before the council and the men and brethren and all. And he comes to verse 3. And said unto him, said unto Abraham, see, verse 2 there, said unto, appeared unto our father Abraham when he was before he dwelt in Charan. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. To Jerusalem. And he gave him none inheritance in it. Now listen. The Abraham never had an inheritance there of a natural. Listen to it. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. He had to buy a place to bury his wife. Come on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed shall sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evilly for the 100 years. And then they went on out, and he's covering that the journey of Israel and the going into the Egypt and being sold and coming back out. But see, he never gave Abraham not one foot of the natural land. Now, if he never gave it to Abraham, what did he do? That's what Stephen's explaining, that wherein you now are at. In other words, you finally possessed, what? The land now that was promised to Abraham, but said, he goes on and explains it. Come on, read. He said, but back there. He said, when you come into the land to possess it under Joshua, said you didn't drive everything out, what I said a moment ago, and said, so you never truly possessed the land there, and said, you really don't possess it now because you're in bondage. That's why they got mad at Jesus. He was talking about it. They said, oh, we were never in bondage. Right there then, under total bondage. But boy, that Jewish staunch belief, see, that great imagination he had, that he was the seed of Abraham, you know. And here's Stephen preaching them a sermon about Abraham. And saying Abraham never got one foot. See why? Because he wasn't seeking that kind of a city. It wasn't that. It was only that in type that would come later when Jesus finished it up and brought into being salvation so that you and I could receive eternal life, that we could have a possession within us, and we could be born again at faith on the drawing, the pyramid, because that's what it would be, because that's the only way you can be born again is by faith. I just believe it, and God, yeah, that's the upper room with the, you know, Brother Branham illustrating. We've been up here now about 9 days. Let's just take it by faith. And Peter said, no, we haven't received. We don't possess. In other words, you're still just as scared as you ever was. Go outside, John. Go outside. You know, Matthew or whoever you're talking to, go outside and tell them about it. Well, I guess we better wait. Right? You say, well, you don't know that happened. You don't know it didn't either. I'm just illustrating it. See? Go out there. Preach to them. Well, we better wait, I guess. Until we possess something. But when that possession come into a reality, they were ready to go out. It didn't matter what happened to them. Because they possessed that Abraham. That's what Stephen's trying to preach the sermon to them about. This Jesus Christ that, read it, this Jesus Christ that died has brought us eternal life. We now possess, in the spiritual sense, what Abraham was looking for. Because now we have the God of the city. The one that Abraham met back there was Melchizedek. Now we have him living within us, the God of the city. And one day there'll be a resurrection, there'll be a change, there'll be an eternity, and we'll have the full possession. Because they called it the earnest of their inheritance. Because that's what the new birth is. It's the earnest of your inheritance. But if we can't possess it in the new birth, church, if we can't take the new birth and let that new birth possess us, until we come to the place that we don't have that doubt anymore, that we can be as Abraham and doubt our doubts. Don't you think the devil pounded that man's mind continually? And remember, he didn't have the new birth to fight him back. He didn't have something down inside of him to do the fighting with. But he believed God spoke to him. You know, Christianity is based upon believing. But that don't make it just to believe it. I said it's based upon believing. Because we must believe. But see, then it's not us accepting him, we found out. It's whether or not he accepted us. And if our believing's not correct, Brother Tom, he's not going to accept our believing. That's what's wrong now. That's what's held the rapture off all of this time. But yet everybody, oh, we're in the rapture. Wait till I get to that. Oh, we're in the rapture. We've been in the rapture since 63. And be just exactly, and I'll repeat this again later, and I'll just make this statement, just exactly like Martin Luther reading, the just shall live by faith, 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 the just shall live by faith. Week, day, time and again. But all at once something happened. Then the just did live by faith. It become a possession,
amen,
not a confession.
Right.
It's what's going to happen to you and I one day.
Amen.
It's got to, or there's not going to be a rapture.
Right. Right.
Oh, we've been in the rapture. That's what everybody says. We've been in the rapture. Well, how come there's so many doctrines? How many raptures are there?
Right.
Is there one for each doctrine? Is there one for each group of people? Well, get off of that. But listen, church, let's just read a few things, because I gave you these the other night, but I didn't read them. But let's try this, read a little bit. Let your prophet see if what I've said so far is correct. Then you'll find out that I just almost verbatimly said what he said on me. All right? Let's just read a little bit. Tested faith produces good, 1958, 518. Jesus saying, have faith in God. Now, you remember that's over in Mark 11. And that original translation, Brother Dick Dyer says, have the faith of God. But it's got to put it out as have faith in God, because it's got to be put down to where that we can start from down just having faith in God to come up to the place to having the faith of God. The faith of God is the new birth. But yet those that have faith in God can move mountains. All right, what? Jesus saying, have faith in God. The book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So what was Jesus saying? Have faith. Have a substance. Have something of reality. All right. Now remember, it's just not an intellectual conception of something. It is a substance. It's something that you possess.
Right.
Now, to possess something, in Webster, means total ownership. You know, you have it. And like in sports, it would say, the football is in the possession of this team. See? Whatever. It means you have control. It's not an imagination. You can stand there and imagine all you want to that the football's in your hand when the other guy's got it going down the track. Right? I've seen some that's so good in basketball, they'd fake you out so much, they'd be shooting on the other end, and you're still hunting the ball. Right? But it's a possession. Listen. Now, what's the message? Have faith in God, 1958, 105. Now, some thinks that it's a mental conception of the word, but that is not right. Faith is a substance. Faith is not a myth. See? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence, to have an evidence, it must be a substance. We've read this in a lot, haven't we? So it is not just something that you imagine in your mind. It's something that absolutely you have. It's something that you possess in your own being. And what is it? The evidence of things that you have hope for. It's the evidence of things that you do not have as yet. Wait a minute now, Brother Abraham. But you have the authority of God to say that you have it. It's an evidence, something you have in your heart. It's something you have in your heart. It's not something you get what he said? You can't show it to somebody. But you have it in your heart. You see, a lot of people have never had a revelation, and that's the reason they don't know what you're talking about. They've never had it revealed to them that they were healed. And have to keep on going for a long time before it would come to pass. A lot of people have never experienced that, so they don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm sorry. But let me quote Brother Branham. He said, God gives some people experiences where not to everybody, I'm paraphrasing it, but he said he gives some people experiences to where it can help others. Well, you could at least say, well, there's one thing about it, it worked for them. See, that'll lead you to something, won't it? All right, look now. But just keep in mind, it's the evidence of things you do not have as yet. In other words, you don't have a scientific, you know. See, down here now, I don't have a piece of paper in my hand. But yet laying here, then I pick it up, now I got a piece of paper. That's a scientific fact. But we're going to get down to it one of these days when you see faith is a whole lot greater than that scientific. Right? Now watch. Something you have in your heart. And that's not something you just kindly push yourself to. I've noticed so much of that in my meetings that people try to work themselves up into something to make them believe. Now, you can't do that. You're just beating the air. Right. But faith is something that's just as calm as and settled as it can be. Right. Now, what is it? What is it now? It's taking God at His Word and having the assurance in your heart that God is able to keep what He has said that He would do and will perform anything that He said He would do. Now, that's faith. Faith is taking God's Word, taking God at His Word. My brother Brandon would say, if God told me to go raise George Washington, I'd invite the world. Why? Because it's a substance. Well, no, it's not a substance now, Brother Dale. Well, tell me what it is. Look at the message, Perfect Faith. Paragraph 29, preached 1963, 8:25 in the evening. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we're told that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, here's where many people fail to receive their healing or what they're asking for. Because they take faith to be something that it is not. See, they don't believe it. It's not an imagination. It is a actual substance. Now listen close. Now you listen close. You read with me. See, it is not what you imagine. It's just as real. Now watch that. Just as real, just as real, just as real. So now you know what he's talking about. It's just as real to you as any sense of your body will declare anything. It's just as real as my eye says. This is a piece of paper. It's just as real as to say that that is a light. It's just as real as to say, I feel my coat. It's just as real as to, as I hear that baby talking or making this noise. See? That's just that real as music. See, just that real as music playing. It's just as real as I taste anything in my mouth. It is that real, only you can't show it to somebody else. You have it alone. Now, amen. It's yours. Faith is the substance. It's not a myth. All right. Now he said this is a deep lesson, so let's just keep reading this. It's the same, this continuation of reading. Notice, it's something that you possess, not imagination. If you really have it, now watch, if you really have it, it's just as real to you as anything that could be. It's just as real as you know that you're riding in an automobile. It's just as real as you know that you're sitting in a church. It's just as real as you hear my voice. It is a substance, not an imagination, not an emotion, but something that you have. And it comes to you by hearing the word of God, and that only. But Brother Dale, if we just had this emotion, we just had this work up, if we just got great singers, if we just had this thing to come in to get us all worked up, we would just have faith. Now that wouldn't what your prophet said. We believe in all of the things. We believe in having a good time, shouting glory, hallelujah, worshiping and all that, but that's not faith. It's taking God as his word. Watch it. It comes to you by hearing the word of God and that only. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. That puts it back to where your faith then is not in some individual. It's not in a man. It's not in an organization. It's not in a group of people. It's in God because God is the word. See, your faith is in God. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You know what we went into when talking about the senses? It is the sixth sense. I just gave you these where you can read them on the sixth sense. See? That faith is a sixth sense. It's not of the five senses. Faith is the only direct and positive sense. It's the sixth sense. Faith is more than sight. Faith is more than feeling. You do not feel faith. You don't taste faith. You don't smell faith. You don't see faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. He goes on in the next paragraph in Super Sense, preaching 59:12-27, and says, you cannot have this sixth sense until you become a Christian. It is the only way that you can ever have any more than the five natural senses for the natural person. The sixth sense is better known to the Christian as faith. Remember when I preached faith for the time. All right? Showing that some people, a prostitute, walk across the platform and be healed. A real Christian come right behind and fail to receive their healing. They had faith for the time. They didn't have the new birth. All right? See, that's a great understanding. You ought to write that down and keep it with you. Faith for the time. Abraham, we're going to take the, I may do it Sunday morning. We're going to take those in Hebrews 11. And see that they all had faith for the time. We don't have it that way. Since a new birth comes into the heart, it's not faith for the time. That's why I've tried my best to get you to see faith is a revelation. See, we think faith is some kind of a great thing over here that we imagine, but a revelation is where we read the word. And the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing.
Right.
Revelation. That prostitute that got healed, God revealed to them that they were healed.
Right.
It was a revelation to them.
Right.
But it was only for the time.
Right.
See, now it's not for the time.
Right.
That's what he's saying here. The only way you can have true, genuine faith is have the new birth. Read the next one where he says the Holy Spirit is there. Read over in Perfect Faith where the prophet's talking about them disciples didn't have perfect faith. He said because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said it's hard to have perfect faith without having the Holy Ghost. He said because it brings it. Now see if I'm quoting him right. But see, church, it's the faith. Go down to the next one on number six. And supersense, and the supersense is the Holy Spirit, the faith of God that dwells in you. The faith of God that dwells in you. Go down to the last one. It was that, it's in supersense, paragraph 168. It was that sixth sense that raised Jesus from the dead after he had laid in the grave, ground, because he believed the word of God. He come out of there on his own revelation. Now imagination didn't bring him out, did it? Jesus come out of the grave by one scripture that was revealed to him. Not just a scripture he read. It was revealed to him. Destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Why? Because I'll not leave his soul in hell. One scripture, Brother Brown said, Jesus went to the grave and came out upon it. What? Because it was revealed to him. That was that super sense, because he believed the word of God. Look at the last paragraph. By that same sense, God spoke when there was nothing. He's talking about the creation of the world. What is that sense? That super sense is God. The faith of God in you. The part of God that comes into you gives you the super sense. That's what framed the world. Is the same new birth you have in your heart. The same super sense you have, the same new birth. The same thing you have within your heart. Abraham and them. You understand what I was saying a while ago? You have a possession. But Abraham knew that it meant more than to just have a land, because he didn't go set up markers around the land of Canaan. But he walked through it. Because footprints are possessions. And he said, I'll give you everywhere you set the sole of your feet. Now listen. You show me one time Abraham failed anywhere. Did anybody ever come out and defeat him? Is it ever recorded in the Bible that anybody defeated Abraham? Now, it's recorded in your Bible that people defeated the children of Israel. Right? They got defeated. But show me one time Abraham was defeated. Even give his wife away, lied like everything. But where was he ever defeated? Show me one time in the Bible that Abraham was ever whipped by anybody. Come on. See, because he possessed where he walked. And then the children of Israel walked right behind him and possessed a natural land. He possessed a land as only footprints. But they possessed the entire land. And that's what Stephen was saying. You are now in the land that Abraham, it was spoke to him, and said he got not even as much as 1 foot. Said, now you're there. But said, that ain't what. Go on and read there in the book of Acts. That's not what it is. Because this same Jesus that you crucified, he has raised from the dead and now given us a new birth. Go on and read it and see if they didn't stone him to death. Is that right? That's where Stephen was stoned right there. Because of his message of eternal life. Truth has never been popular, has it? Try to tell the truth about faith and see how popular you are. Oh, Brother Dale, you're trying to destroy my experience. I don't believe in but one experience. I preached that. Your prophet didn't believe in but one experience. Everybody gets the same new birth. Read the church age book. Same Holy Ghost in every age. I preached it over and over. Ever born again Christian has the same experience. What is it? The person of Jesus Christ coming and living in you. By faith that was quickened to you. The prophet said you're only saved by faith. You're only saved by revelation. You're not saved because you go to church and because you believe the message. The devil's got you beat out. He's here a whole lot more than most of y'all, because I see him. All the time, when I don't see you. He's the best attendance we got. But listen, church. Abraham was looking for a city. That's why he didn't have no stakes drove down and said, well, we're going to take from this river to that river to that river. Now, come on. Understand what I'm trying to illustrate. Abraham didn't say, okay, well, now, God told me he'd give me wherever I walk. Okay, I'm going around the borders, you know. I'm going to go all the way around these borders, and then we got everything. No. Now, he was just wondering. He'd go here, he'd go there. He was over into Canaan, and he'd leave Canaan, and he'd go to Egypt. And he'd go out of Egypt, and he'd go back into Canaan. He was just going, why? Because he wasn't looking for the kind of thing that people think of a possession. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Brother Branham said he met the very God of the city.
Amen.
The very God of the city came down, and he said the city was right there above him. And the prophet said this way. He said that city came down on Jesus on the River Jordan. Why don't people preach Jordan correctly? Come on, get in the future home and see if it wasn't that city that descended on Jesus, the one Abraham was looking for, descended on Jesus. But it had to leave him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because he was only going to make way for eternal life in the soul. Had he that not left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, immediately when the Holy Ghost fell, they would have went right straight into glory. But it had to fall. He had to step back, or what you want to call it. That had to leave him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when it did leave him, that city, as we call it, when it left him, that anointing, it left him. But the Holy Ghost didn't leave him. Because the Holy Ghost has come right out of him and come right back on the church on the day of Pentecost, down into the soul, to take possession of the soul of the individual that's born again and claim the rest of the inheritance, which is the rest of us, the body and spirit. It laid claims on all of it. But it didn't totally possess it. Because you see down through the ages, you see people continually dying. You see today, people are continually dying. Why? Because the possession of the body has not taken place yet. But it's already paid for. Listen to what I'm saying. We got the quarter. Right? Sorry for calling the Holy Ghost a quarter. But what else are you going to call it? We got the earnest of our inheritance, which is the new birth. That's what your Bible says. Waiting the redemption of the body. Page 49 of the future home. Waiting for that day to come. Listen now. That would come down. Where is that anointing to come back from? According to Malachi 4, there is to be an anointing strike. Who? The bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That left him in the garden. That came on him on the River Jordan. Why don't they, if they're going to preach it, they're going to preach it, made him God. Well, why in the world don't you preach that it come down on the bride and will make her God?
Amen.
You could at least preach it that away. Church, that gets you so it. I'm sorry. But this thing burdens me. To see the truth and try to present it to the people. This is not an imaginary thing. I preached this in the 70s. Got the tapes in the 80s of it to say that anointing that was left him in the garden is to come back on the bride of Jesus Christ to make us to be the Word made flesh, the Son of Man, and to finish this thing up in a rapture. Finish it up with an anointing to strike. Brother Branham, questions and answers in 59, I believe it is. It's questions and answers book, maybe one of them, It's in the conduct order, Doc. He said, after the door of the Gentile church is closed, God will anoint a church. Said he'll do in 1 year what theologists tried to do in 2000. But said he's not only will do it, said he's doing it now. I'm looking for anointing to strike. I'm looking for an anointing to come. I'm looking for a baptism of the Holy Ghost to come that'll fill every fiber of our being, the prophet said, and take us in a rapture. But it can't come if we ain't in a place. It can't come if we're not there. You can't catch a bus down at the airport. Go to the bus station. Get in line. Don't even do it this way. Don't even go to the bus station and sit down on a bench. Oh, I'm in the bus station. That's where people... I'm in the message. You better have your ticket in your hand. And you better get in line. And I try to be number one. Don't you? Come on. We get down to the airport. We start leaving the country. My ticket is in my hand. My pass to get on that plane is in my hand for the last 10 or 15 minutes before I get on that plane. But you see a lot of people, it gets me, and same as it does, you go to McDonald's and they stand there, they've been in line for 20 minutes looking, and then get up there and say, what do you want? I don't know what I want. That gets me. I want to say, hey folks, I'll pay for it. If your brother Gary Krantz was here, he'd laugh about it, because he was down at Varsity, and he walked up there or something, this years ago, I hope you don't mind me telling, I heard this on him, anyway. And he walked up there, and they said, what do you want? He said, I don't know. He said, next.
That's right.
If you don't know what you want, step out of line. Yeah. But listen, church. I have my ticket, my pass, my everything is ready. But you get in that line, and you start going down through there. You know, when they call it, and you go down through there, and you're some lady. Now, I ain't throwing off on her, because men do the same thing. And they're digging down in their stuff, looking for their pass, isn't it? Let me go by. They don't do it. But listen, church, I'm not trying to make fun. Because if I don't make a little bit, I'll bust out crying. Because listen, this message has in it everything we need. But get it in your, not as a ticket laying in your seat. Not as a quote laying on the pages of here that we give them to you, and you come back in a week or two and you got to pick up the papers in the church. Because if you don't, they just keep stacking up. At least Brother Tatum, we take them to him. He takes them, punches holes in them, puts them in a notebook and reads them. And then years later, he'll read them. He showed me many times. He'll open up something and say, look here, Brother Dale, you preached this in 84. You preach this series here. He's got them in folders. Because it means something to him. But faith is something you possess.
Right.
Is one God just a concept in your mind? If it is, a Trinitarian can talk you out of it.
Right.
A oneness can massively confuse you. But is it a revelation to you of one God? Do you know God by revelation, or do you just know what Mama said, Daddy said, Brother Dale said, Brother Branham said? Those are just imaginary worlds. Get it to where it's a reality. It's a possession. It's something you have that Brother Branham said, Abraham had the baby. Now here's what I was trying to get to a while ago. Now listen, when God first spoke to him and told him to go out of the Ur of Chaldees, to leave there and go into Canaan, he didn't have the baby. He said, wait just a minute. He didn't have the baby because God hadn't spoke to him about the baby. He only spoke to him about the land to go to. Then he told him about the baby. He didn't possess the baby when God first spoke to him. He possessed the understanding of a land that he was going to. But he knew it was not a land of a natural because he was searching for a city. And as he does, he meets the head of the city, the god of the city. The god of the city told him about the baby.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen. Sure
God appeared to Abraham and told him about the baby. Right. Then he had a substance of the baby. What he had before was a substance of a land. Everywhere you put your feet, I'll give it to you. He had that. He believed that. He walked out on that. And God kept increasing it. And finally he told him, he said, now you'll have a child. Then he possessed the child. Right? But that was still just natural. That was still just natural. Because it was Isaac. But you see, church, we don't have just a promise of a seed. We have the promise of the seed, which is Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question, and I'll get to it. Maybe, what did all those Old Testament people have? Well, they had faith for the time. You told us a while ago. What does that mean? What did they have? They had a possession. What was it? What did you think about it? What was that they had? They had something. We'll get back to that later. See, it's something the prophet says you possess in your own being that nobody can see but you. Anna's got a baby back there in her body. Nobody in here knows it like she does. She has a possession that she can't show nobody. She's always laughing about which one of the humps it is because she's got one above and one below. Now, she'll get mad at me for saying that on tape, but... Yeah. We're just kidding her, telling her she's going to have two of them, maybe. One up the top, one down the bottom. Yeah. But listen, she's got something that she can't show it. Now, when it becomes a reality, that's a scientific fact.
Amen.
Do you know that, can I quote Brother Branham? He said that Mary had to believe that she had a child when she had no sign for 30 days. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Even at that point, you could have problems with that, you know. I mean, but there's no way that she had any sign of showing anything, even to herself, for 30 days. But she believed it. You know what brought the child in her womb? Her believing. Come on. What puts it within you and I? Our believing. We must believe that God is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's that little word is again in the present tense. Faith is right now, tonight, the singular, belonging to you and no one else, substance. What anything consists of that you're asking for. At least we could make our confession correct. And try to walk into the confession.
Right.
Try to walk forward until God can produce from something.
Right.
So they told you a while ago, I don't have in a possession tonight what I'm speaking of. Now, one of these days I'll get back to that. You say, well, that sounds so odd. No, but I've got the promise.
That's right.
I've got what the Bible says.
That's right.
So that's greater than a reality to me. Even though I'll tell you up front, it hasn't been revealed to me what I'm talking about exactly. He said, Brother Dale. No, because when it's revealed to me, I'll possess it. But you won't unless you got it for yourself. Let me state it again. Martin Luther preached that just shall live by faith many times, but one day it was quickened to him.
That's right.
Now, you should understand what I'm saying right there.
That's right.
Let me quote it and see then, okay? The bride will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. That's what your prophet said. Well, brother, there we've been in it since 63. The rapture is in process. Haven't you heard like great sermons on it? Come on. Haven't you heard sermons preached about how the rapture is in process? I ain't going to finish the rest of it. But what I'm saying to you, one day, it'll be quickened to me that I'm changed. And when it is, ain't nothing in the world can stop it. But that's what you got to do. You got to have it as a possession. My wife can't say, I'm going because my husband's going. The kids can't say, I'm going because my daddy's going. The grandkids can't say, I'm going because Papa's going. Mm-mm. This is an individual affair.
Amen.
The rapture won't be a collective event.
That's right.
Now, you know what I'm talking about, rapture. I'm talking about change.
Right.
So we've been in the rapture for 30 years. Living like the devil. Huh? Come on. Living more in the natural realm than we do in the spiritual and talk about a rapture. Where's it at? Think on these things. See, a revelation to you is a possession that you and you only have. It's like I've always said, I don't know of nobody that's born again but me.
Right.
Well, Brother Dan, you're supposed to say the same thing. If not, there's something wrong with your experience.
Right. Right.
The prophet said, if there's one going out of Kentucky, that's quoting for him, wasn't it? He's the one going out of Georgia. Well, I know Brother Dale's going, so that means nobody else is going there. No, he said, you got to have the revelation that you're the only one that's going. Because that is the only one that's going, is you. But everybody in the building must have that same revelation that's going. See, church, that's why I've tried and I've cried about it to preach that a lot of people is going by the grave. A lot of true born-again Christians are going to go by the grave before that change comes. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes I wish God wouldn't even reveal things to me. Because it just rips your heart to think.
Amen.
You may not think I do, but I love people. I love this message. I'd love to get it to every hand of every preacher that's in the world to get an understanding. But yet the best you can do is become an exalted. See, when this is all over with, it's going to be finished. You're going to find out what's right. Because this is not statements I'm making today. I made in the 80s that there'd be a lot of people have to die and go by the way of the grave because they wouldn't be able to stand for that last moment in the change, and I may be one of them. And if time keeps taking its toll, a big portion of us is going to be one of them that goes by the grave. But you see, the rapture is a revelation. You can say, Brother Dale, it's been revealed to me. I'm in the rapture. I don't want it revealed to me that I'm in the rapture. I want it revealed to me that the rapture's in me. Because that's the only thing that's going to take me out of here. Do you see what I'm talking about? A possession. That's why I said, see, God gives some people experiences where other people never have those experiences. And they get upset because you mention it, because they think you're thinking you're exalted. But when I told that doctor, I said, you ain't taking my kneecap off, Doc. He just laughed and said, I will. Well, you see, that was a reality to me. That was a revelation to me. You know how I know it's a revelation? I still got my kneecaps, and that's 20 or 25 years, maybe 30 years ago. I don't know. Satan will come along every once in a while and hit me, and he'll say, yeah, you. I just lied. Because, my Lord, I'm 66 years old. I'm supposed to have hurting knees. Everybody says the devil's after me because I'm hurting. No, you're getting older. The older you get, the more you hurt. What I told Brother Danny the other day, me and him were talking on the phone. I said, Danny, we're getting older. And I said, it's downhill from now on. He said, you shouldn't have said that now. Well, it is. The prophet said every day after 40, you get another ailment. I said, I get three a day, plus what I already had. Hurt here, hurt there, hurt here, hurt there. You know. But listen, a possession. Your possession is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, that's my possession. I possess eternal life because it's been given to me. The thing that I want is for that eternal life to take possession of the rest of me. Let's stand. Come on, brother Lord. Think on these things. I may not be able to preach it right, but one of these days we'll see what I'm talking about. Amen. Because it'll become a reality.
Right.
But don't just stop and think, well, hey, we're in the message. The message has got a lot of things to say about the bride of Jesus Christ, just exactly like the Bible's got a lot of things to say about those Old Testament saints. And that how that by faith they done what they done. By faith, they've done those things. Because there was something that was dealing with them. And there's no mention of any of them's failure in the book of the chapter 11 of this. Really? Is any mention in there about Abraham lying, about this, doing that wrong, about this happening? Jacob doing this and this and doing it. Did he mention him? No, by faith. Evidently, God must not have been looking about what they've done in the natural. But there's where we go wrong. We say, then it don't matter what I do. Now, you went wrong. What you do don't matter. But when you think, well, it don't matter what I do, now you're wrong. Because you're planning it and you're in a deception. We want to walk as close as we can walk. Right? Let's stand. 331. Anybody have a need? Anybody have a need? Let's believe. And let's see. Our brother's got a greatest statement. Take all of me out. Put more of him in. I don't need a prayer, but we will pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word and your truth. Thank you for our brother that would have a statement like, take all of me out and put all of you in. We thank you, Father. So let it be a manifestation now under our brother. In Jesus' name. Just believe it. Anybody else? Love is still. Anybody else? It's that city on the hill. I need to come home to that city. For the word says, whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. But think about it. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages till I reach that city on the hill. Think about it. Death will never molest me in that city, never leave me lying cold and chill. But I'll enter to live there forever when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city. Anybody have a need? So I'll stay here until my Savior calls me, trying daily to perform his will. Then he'll say unto me, well done up yonder, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Is that your desire? See, church, we're not just talking about things now. It's not just something that we're speaking about. This is going to be either up or down for you and I. This year is not a type or a shadow, but it's a good one because it's the number 7. Great. But it's not the year. It's the time of Jubilee. It's the time of Jubilee for you and me. It's the time for a change. Go ahead. Whatever truth, changing me, changing you, in this world, open word of God in heart. Ever true, changing me, changing you, we have come with God. Oh, may the word of God impart. Ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, may the word of God impart. Think about him. He is the word. That's why I said a while ago, a vision. And we're going to get, the Lord willing, to see this much. A vision is greater than a scientific fact. A word of God is greater than a scientific fact. The word of God is greater than a vision. A vision is greater than a natural world. A vision is greater than what you see. But the word of God is greater than a vision. Because the word of God is God himself. Oh, let the word of God be. Amen. Think about this, folks. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly, because that's a substance. It becomes a revelation, that's a substance. Not just your imagination. It's a substance of a reality. One more and let's go. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are, is he? More precious than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you. One more time before we go. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are the three most valuable things that the world can think of. Silver, gold, and diamonds. But I'd rather have the substance that's in my heart called the new birth. And all of those. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here tonight. We pray that what we said has been worthy to be said. And forgive us if it wouldn't. Lord, you know what's in our heart and our desire. Is get us all to see the substance that we have within our heart by the new birth, which is eternal life. And that is greater than everything that's around us. Because all that's around us must come under that subjection to that word that's living in our hearts. Guide each one on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. And let your word, Lord, have the preeminence in each one. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed.